Repeat after me. This is my Bible, my very own Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God, and I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. My life will be better after having heard the ever living precious word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Never, never, never be the same again. Did you know that one word from God can change your life? Question is, what has God spoken to you? What has he spoken to you? One word from God can change your life. This morning I did a post on Facebook along with a video clip from a friend of mine who I just happened to, her and her husband, I traveled to Moscow with them and ministered in Moscow and Red Square and all those surrounding areas. And it was, she was talking about the peace of God and how since the existence of the Bible, that there's only been like about 300 some years of peace, actual peace. Man has been at war all the other times. And she said, gave a statistic that over $9 trillion have been spent on violence, trying to contain violence or whatever. $9 trillion been spent. And that's just an estimate. Now, we know that the Prince of Peace, Jesus, when he comes into your life, he changes everything. And, you know, if you got peace on your inside, you're not really looking to fight with nobody. Amen. And people that like war, they got stuff, issues on the inside. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. They need to meet Jesus and need to keep Jesus in the center of everything. And it changes everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, well, what about people that won't act right? They need Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about something that kind of goes along with what we've been sharing already. In this year, 2015, is called what? The year of fulfillment. Cheryl said total fulfillment. The year of fulfillment. And we believe that as this year has been declared to be the year of fulfillment, that we're going to see manifestations, demonstrations, and visitations, amen, from the Lord. I was got a text on last night from one of the members here in the church. She had been prophesied to, I think in one of Pastor Rich's meeting, that God was going to bless her with her own home and everything. So she let me know that Pastor got my house, Melissa. She just moved into her house over the weekend. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. She bought it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just want to repeat, you know, a prophetic word that Dr. Jerry Savelle had given concerning this year, 2015. He said, experiencing the greater glory is still my plan, and you'll see the great I am shall visit your land. Manifestations of my spirit as never before, and demonstrations of my power from shore to shore. Supernatural provision and greater breakthroughs too. Yes, this is my plan and my will for you. The powers of darkness will no longer stand, for I will show them the strength of my right hand. I'll have my way and all shall see. No power is greater nor equal to me. My people will rise up and take their place, and no enemy will stop them from finishing their race. Yes, 2015, you'll surely see, will be a year that will go down in history. So lift up your hands and boldly decree, something great is about to happen to me. Amen. Can you do that? Something great is about to happen to me. Come on one more time. Something great is about to happen to me. Amen. We made this statement that expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. Amen. You need a miracle. You need a breakthrough. I said expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. What does the word expect? It means to look forward to something, to anticipate, to visualize. What do you see on your inside? Oh, glory to God. Amen. You know, the one who expects the most on the planet is God. He expects the most out of you. He expects the most out of me. He expects the most out of us. And he has plans for us, and none of them include defeat. Not one of them. Amen. God has, there's an expectancy on his inside. I believe there are times that God can see us doing things whether we really see ourselves doing them yet or not. But God can see it. God believes in you when nobody else believes in you. God's in your corner when no one else is in your corner. When everybody else said no, God said, yes, you can. Amen. Why? He believes in you. He created you. And the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I'm telling you, we need to get that power level up a little bit higher. Why? Because God is able to do. God said, if you can ask for it, he said, I can do it. Amen. If you dare ask for it, God said, I can do it. But, you know, I think sometimes we go like, well, I don't quite need that much. I don't quite need to do this. Don't let nobody else talk you out of God's best for your life. Amen. There are always people that come along and say, well, I don't think that's for you. That's, you know, you don't need all that. Just ignore them. Keep right on going. I believe God that it shall be just like he said it would be. Amen. Now, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, and we want to begin reading with in chapter 1. I went back and I was reading over the story again regarding Elizabeth and Mary. And the scripture says, first of all, beginning with verse 30 of Luke chapter 1. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. You know, that's a good thing. When you have found favor with God. And notice God said, don't be afraid. Fear keeps us from so much. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Will be what? Called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her, what? In her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. This is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. You know, there's some stigmas that have been attached to us. But I'm telling you, when the God of breakthrough comes through, she that was called barren ain't barren no more. Glory to God. What stigma has been attached to you? What have you been called? I'm telling you, God wants to get involved in your life and cause that thing to be erased from your life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. She who was called barren is now with child, 6 months pregnant. Oh, glory to God. I just read that. That just illuminated on my inside. That she who was called barren In other words, other people, this is what they spoke. This is what they said about her. Oh, she's barren. Oh, she's barren. Oh, you know, they're never going to have any children. Oh, they're barren. And constantly hearing this over and over and over and over. You know, sometimes you hear things so often, you don't really have expectancy that much of anything will happen. Because you've been named something. But I'm telling you, when God gets involved in your life, he can change your name. Amen. He can change your name from Abram to Abraham. Oh, glory to God. And we know what happened with Sarai. You know, her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. You know, and the scripture said she was called barren. But yet God gave a promise that her and Abraham would have a child. And we read over in the book of Romans chapter 4. Hold your place there in Hebrews. In Luke. Hold your place there in Luke and look over in Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. The scripture says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God does what? He calls those things that do not exist as though they did. I'm telling you, when God gets involved in things with your life, expect change. No longer expect the ordinary. No longer expect to be average. Because when God gets involved, there's promotion. There's elevation. Why? Because if it's not there, God said, call it and it'll show up. My God. Back in Luke chapter 4 again. Verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. I'm so glad God just put that old age in that just to let people know. Oh, it may seem impossible to you. Amen. She has conceived in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. There is no thing that's impossible for you. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, believers, we got to get our expectors up. We have to anticipate even more than we've ever done so before. And hear this. Don't allow your age to hinder you. Don't allow your place in life right now, your circumstances to hinder you. Because if you can believe a thing, if you will decree a thing, according to Job chapter 22, I think verse 28, if thou shalt decree a thing, it shall be so. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the scripture said, and God said, and let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Let who has to have dominion? Let them. Who would be them? You and me, friend. Amen. Yeah, us-in. Let them have dominion. Quiet. God already had it. In Psalms 115, the scripture said that the earth is the Lord's, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men. He's given it to us. So in other words, he's reiterating that you and I have dominion in the earth. We should not be subject to our circumstances. Our circumstances should be subject to us. Your circumstances should not dominate you, but you should dominate your circumstances. Why? Because God gave you dominion. Amen. People say, well, I don't know if I have dominion. You know, well, the governor said, the president said, the county commissioner said, the teacher said, none of them have dominion over you. Amen. Why? You're created in God's image, and you, first of all, are to serve him. Because they say you can't do something doesn't mean you can't do it. Once we discover who we're connected to, I'm telling you, it's like there's an umbilical cord from God to you. And you know, you think of a baby. When the baby is in the mother's womb, the baby has no worries. The baby don't know what's going on the outside. I think sometimes we act too grown. Jesus said you need to become like little children. Amen. Stop being so grown up all the time. Trust God. Amen. Remember what Jesus said in talking to his disciples. He said in Matthew 6, and also he said in Luke chapter 12, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds of the air. You know, the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, Jesus said, they toil not. They don't spend any time worrying. And when I think of that, I always go back to the image comes in my mind when I was like about 10 years old. I'm sitting in the doorway of our home in Virginia, and the back door is open and is facing the west. I still can see it. Sun shining through this hickory tree that we have in the yard. Big old tree. And I see the sun shining through. And I'm just sitting there with my elbows on both knees and my hand underneath like this, and I'm thinking, I can't think of anything to worry about. What a thought for a 10-year-old. I can't think of anything to worry about. Somehow or another, I picked up that word and listened to the grown folks. You know another word kids have picked up? They use a term, what's that word now? Stressed out. Now, 5-year-old, I'm stressed. I'm stressed out. You know, you have to be careful the words you use around your kids, because they pick those up. They adopt them whether they know what they mean or not. Now, they'll grow into an understanding of it, but there's some in our communication. We have to make sure we understand that we communicate the way we want them to go. And be careful where you release your frustrations. You know, if you go around all the time going, "Ah, ah," I saw a 6-year-old one time. He's going like, "Ah," I'm like, "What's wrong with you?" I mean, he act like he had the weight of the world on his shoulder. You know, he's headed in the wrong direction, not realizing who he is. And we have to help them to understand. I'm telling you, it begins at home, began in the nursery. Or should I say it began in the womb, laying hands on them, talking to them, playing right music around them, singing to them and all that. You know, and began to speak over their life, speak concerning their destiny. And then when they show up, keep speaking concerning their destiny. Don't allow what you deal with to influence them to the point that they bow down and go like, "Man, I got so many problems. I know I'm only 8. Yeah. Why? They need to understand that they are created in the image of God, and that how important their words are. They have the capacity to create just like God has the capacity to create. And when there is an appearance of lack, That's not an opportunity to just fall apart. That's an opportunity to begin to call that which you don't see. That should be a normal way of life for us. It should be normal to call things that be not, rather than people going like, you call things that be not as though they are. Like, yeah. Don't you? Oh, no, we don't. We just call things to be just like they be. And they will continue to be just like they be. If you don't change, nothing else around you will change. Now, we go back and we look at the Bible, and I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I'm not ashamed. A lot of people go, oh, you still got that antiquated book? Yep. You still talking about Shakespeare? Don't let no people to back you in no corner because of the Bible. Yeah. And they talking about all these other religions, Buddhism. I mean, what is it? How do you pronounce it? Buddhism. Buddhism? Okay, I guess I was listening to Jesse Duplantis. Not too much then. Yeah. You know, teachings of Buddha and Confucius and all that. You know, and nobody really knocks them, the followers of those teachings. But if you're following this right here, evidently there must be something to this. Because otherwise, it wouldn't be everybody ganging up against you. And you know, the people that are saying things, they really not your problem. It's the devil who's behind it all, because the devil knows the truth. He was in heaven when he was Lucifer, and he got kicked out. So he knows the truth. And he don't want you and I to find out the truth about who we are and how we're supposed to operate. Because when we do, then he can't dominate us anymore. You know, that seemed to be what the world is trying to do right now, is bring everybody to a place and where they can dominate you. You know, even like Pastor Nick Wright, he talked about doing our camp meeting, seeds. You used to go to the market and get you a pack of seeds and go plant your seeds of all kinds. And now they're trying to control the seeds. Think about it. Whatever seeds. And then not only are they're controlling, getting to the point where they're controlling the seed so that you can't use anything different than what they have. Somebody said, what? Are they crazy? Yeah, they are. But they got the law on their side, because they get the politicians to pass laws that's in their favor, and then their penalties that go along with it. But God's the creator of seed. And they want to control the seed, you know, supposedly in the name of, you know, so there won't be so many disease things that are resistant to bugs and all these other things. Yeah, but you change the makeup of something, you change it. Bugs ain't been able to kill stuff off all these years. What makes you think they're going to kill them off now? God got something for the bugs, too. Amen. Stop killing them all, or let the snakes eat all the bugs you want. You know, black man see a snake, boy, he kill him. Pow! We think, oh, ain't no such thing as should be a live snake. All snakes should be dead. No, but snakes have a purpose. Amen. They have a purpose. Frogs have a purpose. Amen. And God knew what he was doing when he put everything down here. So, We don't have to submit to all that. Matter of fact, I tell you, get all the seeds you can get and hold on to them. Okay. I think you need to take it out of here. Wow. Okay. See that? I'm just interrupting my message and everything. Wow. Yeah. Oh, you're recording my message. Oh, okay, I see. Well, praise the Lord. They think they're talking. Now, hear this. Get all the seeds you can and save them up. Save them up. All kinds of seeds. I mean fruit, vegetables, you know, flowers. Again, they're trying to control, manipulate everything. like they're God. They're not God, but they want to try to be God. See, they don't understand how we supposed to operate. As a matter of fact, they really don't care. It's for them, it's all about money. It's about he who has the gold makes the rules. And they want to continue to make the rules. Well, understand, you and I, we are created in the image of God. And there's a way that we're supposed to operate. And God says your words are very important. And in Proverbs chapter 18, the scripture said death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the power of whose tongue? It's in the power of your tongue. So we have to be careful of the words that we use, the word that we use to express ourselves. Hear this. We don't think in words. We think in pictures. We don't think in words. We think in pictures. And so whatever word we use, make sure we are conveying the image that we want. You know, if I said to you, big dog, all of you would think of a certain type dog. Perhaps all are different. But when I become a bit more specific and said a big black lab, all of a sudden everybody's image becomes the same. So when we use our words to express what we want, it's important that we use right words. Job got a hold of that. He said, how forcible are right words? People didn't understand why Job went through all the stuff he went through. Well, Job's mouth got him in trouble. Amen. Job started calling a lot of other stuff. Job started operating in fear instead of operating in faith. And he was a good man and all, but there were some things he didn't know, didn't quite understand. But he got understanding. Amen. And we need to get understanding so that when we call things, we're not trying something, but we know that these things will manifest because we are operating the same way that God operates. Amen. Hear this again in Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The angel said, what? Let it be unto me according to your what? Your word. The angel painted the image that he wanted Mary to grasp a hold of. And she did. And she said, let it be. You know, when God says something, we have to receive it. We have to receive it. It's one thing to get a prophetic word. It's another thing to believe that prophetic word. You know, people get words all the time. They go from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. And people giving them words about this and words about that. And they go, oh, yeah, it was a good meeting. You know, well, what happened? Because the word that you get, if it's from God, is supposed to spur your imagination and give you an image of where you're headed. Yeah. And if it doesn't do that, then you would ask yourself, is this really from God? So skip down to verse number 42. Then she spake out loud. This is the. Let me go back to 39. Now, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the what? Then she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears. The babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. There shall be a what? A fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. I asked you earlier, what has God told you? What has God spoken to you? What has God promised you? Elizabeth told Mary, there shall be a fulfillment. I think in King James it said, there shall be a performance of the things that were spoken to you. Oh my God. In other words, these things that have been spoken from the Lord are going to come into manifestation. And notice Elizabeth emphasized the fact, the things that were told her from the Lord. You know, Isaiah chapter 55, if you flip over there real quick, Isaiah chapter 55, we find out some things about God's word, how important it is. Verse 10, Isaiah 55, it says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Oh, my God. So if the word is from God, there should be some expectation that go along with that word. Amen. Oh, glory to God. There should be some expectation. Now, hear this. And with the expectation, you should look not only be expectant, you should also be looking for manifestation. You should be looking for demonstration. You should be looking for visitation. Why? Because it's the word of the Lord. And God's word does not return void. Amen. Hallelujah. If God said it, then bless God, we're taking it to the bank. Hallelujah. Amen. Now hear this. Turn with me in your Bibles to also to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God calls things that be not as though they are. Now we understand in operating by faith that in operating by faith, we call things that be not. Amen. People said, well, I'm hoping for this. I'm hoping for that. And hope is a blueprint for faith. But the scripture said in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hear this. Faith is based on what God said. We all dream. But somehow or another, you need to take your dream and apply God's word to it. And when we apply God's word to it, then we have substance to it. Faith calls things that be not as though they are. Amen. And it's in every area, even where physically, where you're concerned. If your physical body, you call your body healed. Somebody said, what do you mean call my body healed? I'm sick. Well, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, we are healed. And he already taken his stripes. As I've always said before, you are the healed and Satan trying to make you sick. You are the blessed and he's trying to put a curse on you. You are the prosperous. He's trying to make you have poverty. I said, no, I'm not accepting poverty. No, I'm not accepting sickness. Why? I have a covenant with God. The covenant that I have with God in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he was made poor that I might be made rich. One word from God can change your life. It changed what you see on the inside. Now hear this. Everything changes on the inside before it changes on the outside. And I tell people, before you really start talking and calling and praying, you need to go find out what God said first. What has God already spoken that you can speak? Because it's what God that has already spoken that is what's going to bring things into manifestation. Amen. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. There was a saying years ago, people, you see bumper stickers. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Nope. God said it, that settles it. You choose to believe it or not. Amen. Oh, glory to God. There are some things that God said is coming to pass. They're coming to pass regardless. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who has raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, verse 16, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is what? Is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary, a temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our life should be based on what God said and not on the five physical senses. Amen. Did you know everything according to your five physical senses is subject to change? That's why you don't live your life based on your feelings. You live your life based on God's word. You don't go around talking about you're saved based on your feelings, because one day you may get up, you may not feel too saved. But you're saved regardless. But why? Because God's word said that if thou shalt believe in thy heart the Lord Jesus and confess with thy mouth, then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if the scripture says that, if I do that natural act, then I am saved. Then I'm saved regardless of what it looks like, who's president or who's not president, what's going on around me, what happened to the stock market. I'm still saved. Why? I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Amen. Regardless of what I feel like. Somebody said, I heard Brother Copeland get a story, illustration one day. He said, you know, you may wake up one morning, may not feel, you may be what you're married, and you may wake up one morning, may not feel too married. He said, but you know what? Old Gloria, she'll roll over and said, no, I want to remind you, yeah, you married. Amen. Oh, yes, you are married. Now hear this. We look not, look at verse 18 again. While we look not at things which are seen. That is a key right there to experiencing what God said. Why? Because there will always be contradictory evidence to what God said. I hope you realize that. There will be contradictory evidence to what God said. The devil is trying to get you to doubt what God said. Look at Mark chapter 11. See, if he can get you to doubt, there'll not be manifestation. But if he can't get you to doubt, then there will be manifestation. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Verse 23, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you might get them. Huh? Did I read that wrong? I read that wrong. Y'all adamant about that. I read that wrong. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and depending on who's president, determine who whether you get them or not. Huh? That's still wrong? My God. Let's see if I can get this right now. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And if the pastor said, okay, then you'll have them. So, regardless, the president has nothing to do with the president, has nothing to do with the pastor, has nothing to do with the feelings. It has to do with what you say. Oh, my. Yeah. So, you're telling me that no one else outside of God should weigh in on your prayer life and whether things come to pass or not. Your feelings could say, no, we tried that before. But what did God say? Now, this is in red letter. Red letter, it says, when you see red, we win. Therefore, I say to you, whatever. Notice how broad that is. You ever notice how many people try to qualify everything? Well, if this, if that, and, you know, whatever is whatever. People try to take the vastness of God's word and reduce it down to some little thing. And God said, whatever. And your whatever may be different than my whatever. But he said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will or you shall have them. God believes that when he calls something, it's going to respond. Do you believe that when you call something, when you pray, do you believe it's going to respond? Again, he said, whatever. We look at Jesus and his life. Jesus never exhibited fear of any kind. And he faced some situation that none of us have ever run into yet. I mean, you run into a demoniac, a man that lived in the amongst the tombs, cutting himself. Everybody else scared to go by there. Evidently, somebody must have told Jesus about Jesus, where he at? He got his disciples, got in the boat, and they go right over there where everybody else was running from. Oh, my God. You know what? This insight came to me one day regarding Jesus. First of all, I heard someone ask this question. You know, according to Mark chapter 16, the believer shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus talked about all the signs that shall happen. But one of the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I heard Shambach ask the question one time. Are your hands registered in hell? Somebody said, what do you mean? The believer shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Are your hands registered? You know, in karate, if you're in the martial arts and you get like certain black belts and things like that, your hands have to be registered with the police because your hands are lethal weapons. Yeah, you didn't know that. Hey, I'm asking you, are your hands registered in hell? When you lay hands on those with infirmities, things happen. Why? Because your hands are lethal weapons. Whew. Oh, my God. Your hands are what? Lethal weapons. Mm. Now, kind of lost my train of thought that I was going there because I got stuck on these hands here. Now, where was I, boo? Before I start talking about the hands. Huh? Verse 24. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Yeah. That was it? That's all I was saying? And then I got stuck on the hands. And and I asked, are your hands registered? And looking at my wife, she, her eyes are blinking like a little sleepy dog, baby. Are your hands registered? Now she has a stronger healing anointing than I do. She says that it's like liquid fire is running through her hand all the time. I would say her hands are registered. Yeah. I would say her hands are registered. inhale. Yeah. So if you ever need something, hands laid on, get them. Fire flows out of hand. I'm a witness. I sleep in the same bed with her. And I tell her, take your hands off of me sometime. Because I can't go to sleep because her hands like fire. I mean, I start sweating. I'm like, I just want to go to sleep now. Are your hands registered? Are your hands registered? Now, let me go back and read. What did Jesus say here? Verse 24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. When we pray concerning our building, I believe we have it. Amen. Now I know, now hear this. Now I know in the natural, most people, they don't operate this way. Natural way is, you know, I used to do loans. I understand the natural. Cheryl used to work in the bank, you know. I know the natural way is you get your down payment, and they say you need at least 20%. At least 20% right now to satisfy the loans. And then you got to have, you know, good credit. Everything is okay. And then, you know, they ask for all your business. You don't know your blood type, who your mama, everything else, you know. And how many people you got in the church? How many big givers do you have in the church? You know, how is it broken out? Because if just two or three people that the givers in the church, then they say, well, we probably won't give you the loan because one of y'all might decide to leave. You know, all that kind of stuff. But I'm not going down that road. I'm going down this road. Call things that be not. What are you calling, Pastor? I'm calling for ownership of our place called there. Not loanership, but ownership. Amen. Anybody can get a loan. But I'm calling for ownership. Now hear this. I'm not in this by myself. You in here with me? But even bigger than that, God's in here with us. And God, who calls things that be not as though they are, said, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe. In other words, you got to see what you believe in. What do I see? I see ownership. Amen. I see mortgage burning ceremony. That's what I see. Somebody said, but it hadn't been done like that in this part of the country. We don't know nobody. Well, you're about to meet the first one. Amen. I said you're about to meet the first one. Oh, glory to God. Amen, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Hear this. Elizabeth said to Mary, there shall be a performance, a fulfillment of the things that were spoken by the Lord. The Lord said to me, Clyde, I have released my angel to undergird you and bring you into a safe place. Therefore, do not fear, for all will be well with you, saith the Lord. Now, what is left out of all? For me to get in fear, it will be a direct violation of what the Lord told me. It would be me coming to a place where I doubt that God could even do what he said he could do. We know the God of the Old Testament. We know all the things that he did for all the patriarchs of old. God is looking to do some things in the rotten here and now. Amen. He's not just looking for Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle and Jesse Duplantis and guys like that, just to, and the Hagans and all them, just to be the only one. He's looking for some folks in Florida that say, Lord, I'll be a representative for you. I will believe you. And you know what? I think he found a bunch. Right here at 3506 North Harbor City Boulevard. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Co-laborers with God. Amen. Co-laborers with God. See, we talk about our own labor. We don't talk about co-laboring with God. When God gets involved in something, man, everything shifts. Everything changes. Things begin to snap, crackle, and pop. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I mean, Melissa got her house already. And this is just what, July? Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hear this. This is a year of fulfillment. This ain't no week of fulfillment. Ain't no month of fulfillment. This is not a quarter of fulfillment. This is a year of fulfillment. And guess what's included in that year of fulfillment? Our own place from the Lord. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Now, I don't know what you're asking for. I don't know what you're believing for. But I'm telling you, it's included in that. It's included. Pansy showed up one day. She had a brand new car. I said, look at this. Fulfillment. Amen. Nice car. She's just driving all over the place, just enjoying herself. Ain't even thinking about breaking down. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, oh, that is good. This is good. This is good. I'm just rejoicing. Because I think, you know what? God got a big old place for her to drive that car up to. Amen. Her own church. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. My Lord. Now, see, how can I wrap this up? I'm going to have to go back and listen to this tape, because there are some things, other things I was going to say that I haven't said yet. Amen. Glory to God. I know what I was going to do. I was going to do a, where did I put that? As we are wrapping up, I was going to talk about, see, I told you I have 15 messages to preach. And I do have it in here. There it is. Feel like a teacher. I want you to declare some things with me and receive some things for yourself. Begin to dream again. Begin to see things from God's perspective because of who he said you are. Now, hear this. There are some things that may be standing in front of you right now and say, you can't ever do that. You won't ever rise above that. I'm telling you right now, you need to get just as mad and say, listen here, you're not telling me what to do. You're not going to dictate my future. Amen. You got to talk back to circumstances, because otherwise circumstances are telling you that you are limited. That's what circumstances are telling you. I said, no, evidently you hadn't read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Evidently you haven't read Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's talking about me. Amen. See, circumstances will tell you, no, no, you're always going to have want. After all, you know who your family is. Amen. You know, you've been this, you've been that, and you never pay for anything cash. Everything's always been on time. Well, I'm telling you, it's time to make some changes. Amen. And with God, how many things?
All
things are possible, including paying with cash. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what? We've grown to a certain place. Did you hear what I said? We've grown to a certain place, and we are ready to do some things that we hadn't been able to do before. Amen. You know why? Because our capacity on the inside. The scripture talks about everyone has a supply. It has been enlarged. It has been enlarged. We have been, since we've been in this place, we have been enlarged. I'm not talking about getting fatter. I'm talking about we've been enlarged. Our spiritual capacity has increased. Amen. And we can do more now than we could do 10 years ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, repeat these things after me. I have supernatural strength. I have supernatural stamina. I have supernatural provisions. I have supernatural wisdom. I have supernatural wealth. I have supernatural health. I have supernatural favor. I have supernatural peace. I have supernatural faith. I have supernatural life. I have supernatural grace. I have supernatural joy. I have supernatural hope. I have supernatural love. I have supernatural forgiveness. I am a supernatural giver. I am a supernatural receiver. I have supernatural relationships at church, at home, on my job, in my community, and throughout the world. I have favor with God and man. The Lord is strengthening us. The Lord is establishing us. The Lord is settling us. And regarding the property, we declare right now, we call those things that be not as though they were. We now call the property that fits our needs and desires. We call it now, and it will be a blessing to us. We call you now to come to us in Jesus' name. We declare that God's highest and best is done in this matter, and the angels are working on our behalf right now. The angels are working on our behalf right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Supernatural manifestation. You know, the scripture said when Jesus was a child, when he went to Jerusalem, remember he was there at the age of 12. The scripture says that he, his mom and Joseph, they came looking for him. And they found him, and they said, and Jesus said, Mom, don't you understand? I must be about my Father's business. And then the scripture said, in fact, that's the first, those are the first words that were recorded regarding Jesus that he ever spoke. I must be about my Father's business. You know what the last words were? It is finished. I must be about my Father's business. It is finished. But the scripture said, I think Luke chapter 2, 57, 58, somewhere in the neighborhood. It says, then Jesus went with his parents and he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. Guess what has happened to us? We have grown in stature and in favor with God and man. Hallelujah. Our best days are ahead of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got anything out of the word tonight? Amen.